So maybe that's not the guy. Okay. Mishnah Dalet. Yesi ben Yezer, Ish Treda, Yesi ben Yechlin, Ish Yerushalayim, Kibbul Mehem. So we have Yesi ben Yezer, Ish Treda. He was a man of Treda. Yesi ben Yechlin, Ish Yerushalayim. You can hear me in the back? Yeah. Ish Yerushalayim, all the way back there. You can hear me. Ish Yerushalayim, Kibbul Mehem. Now the tape thing this. All the way in the back. And you can bring chairs, you can bring chairs. Alright, so the Kibbul Mehem, right? The Armakabal from Antoninus, Antignas, Ishtoi. So the Chara, the Ha'ara is over here, Stam, this is Pasha Ha'ara. It says, Yosef ben Yezer Yisrael, Yosef ben Yerachim Yisrael, Kibbul Mehem. Yosef ben Yezer Yisrael to Omer. Usually it says, who are you, Omer? Right? It says, who are you, Omer? Why here does it say, Yosef ben Yezer Yisrael to Omer? So this is a klutz kasha. The teretz is, this is a klutz kasha, exactly. Jacob has told me, touch it, exactly. It's two people. So just figured I'd point that out. I wasn't sure about that in the beginning. But the reason why I didn't say it is because it says, who are you, Omer? There's two people, you don't know who. Fine, now we move on. L'chayr, what's pshat that it says? First, let's finish the mission. He based chabeis v'ad l'chachamim. So Yitz ben Yezer Yisrael said your house should be a beis v'ad l'chachamim, a meeting place of chachamim. Then he's abig be'afraglim. You should go like, you know, eat the dust of their legs. You should go follow the dust of their legs. Ve'avei sheis v'tzom es divrayim. Now you should drink with thirst their words. So what's pshat? Okay, so we have a lot of ors over here. What's pshat that it says East Trader? Who's the East Trader? What does that mean, East Trader? He's from Trader. First of all, why isn't it gay where he was from? Second of all, what's that the lashon East Trader? From Trader. It's East Trader. Same thing by his counterpart, by Yosi ben Yochanan, says East Yerushalayim. Why do you know he's from Yerushalayim? And also, what's the lashon East Yerushalayim? What does that mean? So I saw pshat brought down in the Likutei Sheish. He explains beautiful, beautiful pshat. He says, Yosef ben Yezer from Trader, which was a Yer Kotan, it was a small city. I would say like Waterbury, but Waterbury doesn't have the problem that he faced. The problem was, there weren't so many Tamari Chacham around, he didn't have such a Sriva, he didn't have such a Oilam. And he felt that in his life, that was something that he felt he was lacking, that was something that he focused on, that he felt a need, that's something that, you know, there was a major thing on his mind. Something that he felt was important to bring out because he didn't have it. It was something that he was constantly working on, I guess, to get an olam together. He didn't have such an olam. You know, a lot of times you see, you go into some of these places, there's like fledgling men, you know, there's one guy who wants to, you know, there's one guy who wants to get it going. You ever seen that? It's like one guy, like no one cares. It's like one guy, he's like, you know, diehard, you know? He's the only guy who cares. So, Bukhar Yezbe Yezer says in the Kudish Sheish brings down that from Yaakov HaGershuni brings down that he didn't have so many Chavim around in the small town in Treda. Treda wasn't such a big Tyrus city. So, Mela, that was something that he was speaking about. And the opposite was Yesi ben Yochanan. He was from Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was a big city. We're going to see soon in the next mission. What does he say? He says, he's talking about Al-Tabar Zichamisha. There's a lot of action going on. There's a lot of Aniyim around. There's a lot of Achmasar Arkham opportunity. So that was something that he was working with. That was his issue. That's what he was going on. So he was the Ishur Shalim. And there's a big lesson over here. We find quite often, we see people have their causes and they're dedicated to their causes. They make that their life's calling. Sometimes we don't know what our calling in life is till later on in life. Give you a muscle from the Goyim. Mad. You ever heard of Mad? M-A-D-D? Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. And they did a lot of good. Like in the general world, they did a lot of good. They passed laws, and who knows how many people they may have saved from getting killed by drunk drivers. Why? Because these ladies, or one or two ladies, they had a kid killed by a drunk driver. So male, they made that became their cause in life. But how do we know by Hatzalah, right? How did Hatzalah get started? Pesach Kohen story, right? He always says it over there. In Williamsburg, in front of Satmar, there was some guy who never had a heart attack on the spot, and another chassid saw him. Or it could be, wasn't, I don't remember, chassid, whatever, it was many years ago, probably wasn't chassid. Some guy saw him. You gotta be careful with the tape, everything has to be exactly, you know? So he didn't know what. So he couldn't do anything. He saw a guy die. He said, if I would have known CPR or whatever, if I would have been an EMT, I could have helped him. And then he started out solo. Certain things in life, your situation, that brings out your tachlis a lot of times. My Rebbe told me an amazing mashal. He says, what's pshat that the Malach Habura al Hayroin, everyone knows the Mamre Chazal, the Malach that's in charge of babies, pregnancy, babies being born. So he says, you know, he says, Tipa Zu, he's in charge of putting the Tipa, right, sending the neshamas, right? So he says, Tibazu Maki Allah. He asks, what's this going to be? Tzadikai, Rasha, Asher. What? A guy's working for FedEx. Yeah, you have a job at FedEx. He has a package, you got another package. He say, I got to know what's inside. There's a little, some paper inside. I got to know what it says. What's in the game? Send the package. Follow it. Send the address. Send it where it has to go. What's Pshat? What's the Malacham when I run? What's he doing? What's he doing? It's not a, send the package. Terry says he has to know exactly what's in this package to know where to send it. You think it's a coincidence that you were born in this country, I was born in that country, he's Mexican, he's here, he's there, this guy comes from that place. You think it's dumb? This neighbor, he's born in a hick town, he's born to frum parents, he's born to non-frum, everything. You think it's dumb coincidence? No. It's to bring out your shayrus, your tasket, your neshama, to bring it to its tippa. So all things in life that happen to us, you should know it's not dumb. It's not like it just happened. That's to bring us to our tayelis, to what we're supposed to do. And that's what Yosi ben Yezer, Yezer Yochanan did. They had certain things, like it was misuga for Yosi ben Yezer to bring out for generations this inyan of you should be around Chachamim. Because that's something that he felt was lacking, was needed, so he brought that out. Yosi ben Yerushalayim brought out his thing. We have to bring out our things, we'll see. You know, there's different opportunities, maybe small personal things, maybe things in the Gaya, whatever it is. We have to be alert and see opportunities, see things, and see maybe, oh, you know, maybe this is what I'm supposed to do. So, you know, a lot of organizations, that's the way it started. I was asking around a little bit, you know, for other examples. Someone told me about an organization in Matnas Michal, somebody whose cousin, a boy in Nebuch, he was nifter right after his bar mitzvah, like the, I think the next morning. Nebuch, a healthy kid. So the parents started, I guess his name was Michal, Matnas Michal, they started some organization to give out tefillin to Russian children. So who knows? I mean, so that's what they, you know, everyone, based on their situation, that's what they get involved in. And it's a beautiful thing that people, that people do that. There's another. Okay. By Moshe Rabbeinu, it's an interesting part. I will say this over. By Moshe Rabbeinu, by the Sneh, what happened? It says in the Pasuk, Moshe said, Moshe was walking, he saw the Sneh, and the Pasuk says, Vayomer Moshe, Moshe said, Asur Nav Era, I'm going to turn to see, Madua Leivar Sneh, why this thing is burning and nothing's getting consumed. And then it says, Vayar Hashem Kisar Liyarth. Hashem saw that he turned to see. And then Hashem spoke to him. And Hashem started to tell him he wants him to take Elijah out of his trap. Lachar, this big extra. What is it? Every daydream, every time somebody daydreams, the Torah has to write it. Why should I ponder? I think I'll go look at the, you know. That's not, Lachar, what has to be included in the Torah, which is so medaki. And then it says, Hashem saw that he turned to see. I thought Hashem wanted to come to Moshe in the Sneh. Moshe was there. The answer is, how many people walked by that Sneh and didn't turn and take notes? How many sins do we see in our life we don't take note? It should startle us. It should leave an impact on us. Moshe Rabbeinu was such a person. He saw something. He took action. He didn't just... He saw something needs to be done. I'm going to take care of it. I see a snare. I'm not just going to walk by. I'm going to see what's going on over here. And then, Vayar Hashem, he saw the rice. That's an important pasuk. Hashem saw that. That's why Hashem chose Moshe. Because he was someone who took notes. He didn't just go through life, you know, just like, you know, oh, you know, very interesting, you know, different nisim that go on, just pass by, you know, like the scuds, right? Read it 10 years ago, no one remembers anymore. Mamash Anesa happens. You can go by, or you could change your life and say, wow, there's Hashem in this world. So that's what they did. They saw their opportunity, their things in life, and they focused on it, and they made something from it. Another thing I wanted to say is negate to this also. We see how people are in different situations. Like, Yosi ben Yezer was a situation where there was a lack of, there wasn't so much, there wasn't that much going on. And Ben Yerchana was fakert. Everything, you know, a lot of times we get sensitive. Someone says something, and we feel like so sensitive. Like, how could you say, let's say someone has financial problems, money problems. And another one's talking about how he's going here, he's going there. So the other one says, how could he talk like that in front of me? I have financial problems and he's discussing his vacations. Like, that's so insensitive. How could he do that? Now, in the meantime, the other guy discusses his great, you know, how his mother's coming over and everything. Another one maybe doesn't have a mother or something, you know? So each guy thinks the other one's crazy. What's the point? The other one's so insensitive. The point is, we should realize everyone has their own sensitivities. Everyone comes from their own places. We don't understand exactly. You know, everyone has their own thing. We should, on one hand, be sensitive to others. On the other hand, if someone says something that we say, oh, how could he say that? Doesn't he know? Maybe he doesn't know. Everyone comes from their own place. We have to realize we're not in a vacuum. People don't know our situation, and we don't know other situations. We all come from different areas. Okay, getting more into the Mishnah. Yehi beischa beis vaad l'chachamim. It says in the Mishnah that your house should be a house of scholars. It should be a place where scholars come and congregate. It doesn't make sense. What's Peshat over here? You should have a house of Chachamim. How many people can afford to have the Sefer Rebbe in their house? Who has that kind of money? I don't have that kind of money. You know what I'm saying? Or even because you're a big Talmid Chacham, so Rabbanim come to your house, rabbis in your house. Not everyone's on the level. Pirkei Avos is for the masses. It's for everyone. How could it say that you should have the Mayetz meeting should be in your house, the Talmid Chacham should hang out in your house? What kind of a demand is this? How could this be? What's going on? Another question. It says, Yi Beischa, Beis Vav Chacham. Your house should be a house of Chachamim there. Why does it say your house should be? It should say your house, Yehi Beis Chabad L'Chacham. Your house should be a place of Chachamim. Your house should be a house. It's extra work. Your house is a house of. Should be a house of Chacham congregating. It should say in your house they should congregate. What's the extra work? Also, L'Chacham, the Lamed's extra. It should say Yehi Beis Chabad Chachamim. Chachamim should congregate there. Not. It's a place that Chachamim should congregate for them to congregate. What's that extra work? Oh, very good. Excellent. That's one of the points I wanted to say. Exactly. Very good. The command is not that they should actually be congregating in your house. That's not the demand. That's exactly what it's not saying. It's saying your house should be a house that they would congregate in. It should be a house that they could congregate in. That's right to congregate. Without other things that, you know, like when people do afford to have the Rabbanim come to their house, what do? They move out the television, they clean this out, they take out some pictures maybe, put up some pictures, change things around. That revolving shas with the TV, that's the time to turn it around. Put the shas in front, right? B'chayr, that's not the way it should be. The way it should be is that the house should be a place that Chacham should come. The Chacham could come over there. Exactly, that's what I wanted to say. Very good. There's another pshat. This Fasem says, unbelievable chav, a mayrdik pshat. Yes, we have a question. How could the Chachamim be expected? How could you be expected that you'll have the Chachamim in your house? It's a good question. That's the call. It's too much. But maybe if you make where the Chachamim are, maybe make that your house. How about that as a solution? You're right. Where you sleep and eat, they're not going to come there. You can't bring them into your house. But maybe do it the other way around. Maybe put your house where they are. Maybe call the Beis Medrash your home. Marjiv used to say, and Rabbi Ginsburg used to say, when we came to the yeshiva, he would say to everyone who came to the Beis Medrash, it's your living room. He didn't mean that you should put your feet up on the table. He meant that should be where you're comfortable. That's where you should be. You shouldn't walk in like in other nations, in other, you know, people that aren't, you know, they come to a church or sometimes even a shul. They come in like they don't know where they are. They come in, they're so like unsure that, you know, kind of walk in. They're not used to being there. It's not hamish. There's, you know, there's benches. You come sit down at your seat. Here we have tables, chairs. It's hamish. Make yourself at home. This is where we live. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you come in like you don't know where. This is your home. This is where you spend most of your time. And even if you work, and most of us do end up working, so we don't spend most of our time, but we should look at it as this is our place. This is our home. This is where we are. This is where we're based. This is not some outside place that we go to. This is our house. We have, you know, people have more than one house. It's not a contradiction. People can have a house in Miami. They can have a house over here. Some people have a house in New York, Yisrael. Vacation places, right? So you can have another house in the Beis Medrash. It's not a question. That's your vacation house. You chill out. You're in the Beis Medrash. That's where you learn. That's where you are. It's not a contradiction. So it could be that's what the Mishnah is saying. Yehi Beischa, what should your house be? Beis Vav L'Chachamim. The place, the house where they congregate, make that your house. That's the extra Lashon Bayit. I'm sorry? Beis Vav L'Chachamim. Where a house that's... Same thing, I guess. A house where the Chachamim would congregate the Beis Medrash. Where they would and do congregate. I hear. It's not so Gishmak the Lamed. You're right. This is Fasdemus' Pshat. We still didn't explain the continuity of the Mishnah. The Mishnah's order seems to be a little bit like choppy. It says that Yibeischa Beis Vav L'Chacham, it should be a house where Chacham congregates. By the way, before I go on, another pshat that Yaakov Metz mentioned to me, I was thinking along those lines as well, is that who says Chacham means the God of Adar, the greatest people? Who says that's what a Chacham is? Who said? That's the assumption we all make when we learn this Mishnah. At least that's what I made. That Beis Baal HaChacham means Domayetes Gedolei HaTorah. That's what Beis Baal HaChacham means. Not necessarily. Yeshiva Bachrim. They're Chachamim. We're all Talmid Chacham. Anybody who's learning Torah on whatever level and you're going in that direction, you are a Talmud Chacham. You are a Chacham. Well, we learned the Gemara in Kedushin about Yonik Mechakim. The din of Adar Kachim Yisachim. You have to honor Yisachim. So the Gemara, according to one shot in the Gemara, actually, two out of three of them is Yonik V'chokim. Someone who's young, who's nursing, who's learning, that's also someone you have to honor. So Chachamim doesn't have to mean those old... So you should have friends, you should learn in the house. It's a nice thing to learn in the house, especially when... I heard on a Shmuz from Rabbi Eisen, when you buy a new house, what do you do when you come into the house? Make a bracha, learn a little bit, study, make the house a holy place. So we could also fulfill this commandment of Beis Baal HaChachamim by bringing our friends, having the right friend. People, you know, you hang around, Talmidei Chachamim, yeshiva boys, bring yeshiva boys into your house. That makes your house a house of Beis Baal HaChachamim. It doesn't have to be the Gedolei Hador. So what's the order? What's the order? The order is, Beis Baal HaChachamim, you should have, it should be a house of Talmidei Chachamim. You should be in the, you should go in the dust, eat up the dust of their legs. You should drink with thirst their words. First of all, what does misabek mean anyways? What is that? That's a strange word. What does that mean? You should be misabek in the dust of their legs. What does that mean? So there's an unbelievable shot from the Ruach Chaim, Ruach Chaim Velashen, the Talmud of the Gra, and he says, misabek is a lashon of fighting, milchama. When Yaakov fought with the Malach, what does it say? When he was fighting with the angel, it says, Vayeovek ish imoy. A man fought with him. This lashon avek, Vayeovek. And Reb Chaim says this refers to the fight of Torah, the fight of learning. I was speaking to Mr. Fuller on one occasion, and he's telling me that in Catholic Church, we don't ask questions. A Christian, you don't ask questions. You're not to ask questions. That's the way of the religion. And in our religion, we're discussing, it's exactly the opposite. You should ask questions. And Rabbi Chaim Velazhen explains in this chat, not only should you ask questions, but you should fight with your Rebbe. Mis'abed ba'afa ragleyam. You should fight with your Rebbe. If you don't agree with what your Rebbe's saying, you should fight with him till the end, till you reach the emes, till the truth. Maybe you'll be right, maybe he'll be right. You should fight with him. Rebbe, mis'abed ba'afa ragleyam. You should fight with him. What does ba'afa ragleyam mean? It means when you're fighting with your Rebbe, don't become haughty. Realize that you're at the dust of their feet still. Meaning you can ask questions to the authorities, you can ask, but you're at the afra glim, you're at their dust. Realize that you're at their dust. And then you'll continue to be shaysa b'tzoma esterim. You'll continue to drink your Rebbe. How can you drink your Rebbe's words if you're fighting with him? And if you're told that you should argue with him and he's not supreme and you could argue with what he says, how could you go drink out? Because the answer is the offer aglayim. You realize you respectfully ask. You realize that he's on a higher level, but you could still teach him. We learn later in August that Rabbeim learned from the Talmidim. Right? Mikol Malam Ve'Iskalti. I learned from my students. Another pshat in the continuity of the Mishnah could be that a lot of times when we hang around chashuvah people, let's say in the general world, we hang around people that are important, we get used to it. We're not so fazed by it anymore, you know? Like, to meet with the President of the United States is it's like an unbelievable thing for us, right? But reporters that sit in on the conferences that are around, you know, he knows their first name, they're not fazed by that, right? And l'havdil is a problem that if a person's going to fulfill this dictum, he's going to fulfill this obligation of Beis Baal HaChachamim, you're going to make your house the house of Talmidei Chachamim. You're going to drive around the Rosh Yeshivas, you're going to be with them. There's a danger over here. And the danger is that you won't respect Rabbanim anymore, because they're, you know, you hang out with them, they're your buddies. Why should I, you know, worship this dust that they step on if, you know, they could talk to me, I could go with them places, I could see them on the plane, I could, you know, I could live with them, I could eat with them. So the answer is, that is exactly what the Mishnah is saying, I believe. The Mishnah says, your house should be a Beis Baal HaChacham. It should be a place where the Chacham congregate. You should be with them. You should spend, Rav Daniel was telling me, Pshad, Beis Chacham means your house, not just be with them. All phases of life, travel with them. Beis Chacham, like a house, all phases of life. Don't just see them in shul. See them all over. Watch how they are. So we may get used to them. We may not respect them anymore. So it says that they misabed b'afraglein. Make sure to be in their to worship their dust. Make sure to always realize that you're at their dust and they're on a higher level. Keep that respect. And then that they shaisa b'tzamas reim. You'll continue to drink their word with thirst. You won't get used to it. And in general, there's a problem. We get used to things. You know, it's an old story already. You know, I've seen him already. Yeah, I've seen it already. We find the opposite. We find, I can't remember exactly who, but in the Gemara we find certain Amiraim that say, if anyone will tell me something from my Rebbe, right? There's one Gemara, I'll give you a calf who's the third to its mother, which is the best meat, right? You remember that Gemara, such a Gemara? Yeah, Zuz, Mark Zuz. Why? You didn't hear enough from your Rebbe. You were with your Rebbe for so many years, so your Rebbe's not around anymore. What do you have to hear from your Rebbe for? The answer is no. That by Chazal, by Torah, there's a respect, there's a relationship. We can't get enough. No matter how much we have, we can't get enough. And I want to end with one other Ha'ara. It doesn't say you should be thirsty for their words. It says you should drink with thirst. I was thinking, do you drink with thirst? You're thirsty and then you drink. When you're drinking, you're not thirsty. You're quenching your thirst now. You're not drinking with thirst. You drink out of thirst, but you don't drink with thirst. The answer is, yes you do. Because when it's Torah, you can never get enough. I hear one pshat, I need to hear another pshat. I finished this mesechta, I want another mesechta. I heard one shir, I need to hear another shir. Thank you very much.
Okay, Mishnah, hey. Yaisiv ben Yaichanan Ishishlaim Aimer. Yaisiv ben Yaichanan, who's the Ishishlaim, we said last time, Mishnah Dalad, that Yaisiv ben Yaichanan was from Ishishlaim, and Mela, that's why he was speaking about, we're going to speak about Echnas. Archim, things that involve a large population, people are around. Anyways, he says, Yi Beischa Pesuch Lervacha, your house should be open Lervacha, Vyu Aniyim Bnei Beischa, and Aniyim Shemli. Should be the people of your house. They should be your bnei bais. They should, sounds like the imam should live with you. But al tar b'sicha isha, you shouldn't speak too much. It's lashon sicha. You shouldn't be mar b'sicha im isha. It doesn't say al tadaber. It doesn't say im nashim. It says al tar b'sicha im ha isha. It's an interesting lashon. Anyways, I'm sorry. Sicha is like the shmooze, more like. Deeper is like I have to tell you something. Sicha sounds more like shmoozing. We'll speak about it soon. B'ishtai amru. So this, that you shouldn't be mar b'sicha misha, this was said b'ishtai. With your own wife, kavachayim beishis chaver. For sure, with your friend's wife, you shouldn't be shmuzing. Mikan obu chacham from here, the chacham said, kol amar besicha meisha. Anybody who's mar besicha with the isha, goyim ra la'atzma. He causes ra to himself. He causes bad stuff for himself. Ra. We'll see soon what ra is. Uvaytam adivrei Torah. He's bottom from the Torah. Vesef yorish kehanim. In the end, he inherits kehanim. Interesting lashon. You inherit kehanim. Today he gets kehanim. He inherits kehanim. We'll see. Basically, the first thing we have to understand is push-up shot. I don't know how the article translates it. It's not here. What does lervacha mean? It says, yehi beischa, your house should be pasuach lervacha. It should be open lervacha. First of all, just another point. It should be open. Good, very good. Very good. Just before we go back to, we said last time, adiyak. We said yehi beischa. We said last time yehi beischa base v'alachachamim. You should have a base, your house. We said it's an extra lashon. It says yehi beischa base v'alachachamim. And we said a diak l'chayr. It doesn't mean that you should have the chum. It should be you should have a house of that type of a house we spoke about. So we see our diak is right because we see here it doesn't say yehi beischa base pasuach levacha. It says yehi beischa pasuach levacha. Your house should be pasuach levacha. So we see that our diak was correct in the last mission. Anyhow, Yochanan was saying that levacha means it should be wide. It should be open. So we're going to get to that. We're going to speak about that.
Yeah.
If you want
to
say, not to tell
if
it's a woman,
so it's
a Nashit.
Right. Oh, very good. I saw one of the Rishonim said that. Ha'isha means the woman, meaning which woman? Who's the woman? Masih means your wife. Very good. When did Rishonim say that? I'm sorry? Pasha said, Pashas would refer to your wife. It makes sense. You see, saw the first Taisus in Kedushim, the Hay, Ha'isha Aksuva Bakra. Okay, I know that maybe that's stretching it. Okay, fine. So Lamaitza, first of all, what's Pesuach Lervacha? What does that mean? It should be open Lervacha. What's the word Lervacha? So we have one shot so far. And also, what does it mean? You and me Bnei Beisecha. What's the difference? Your house should be open. L'chayr to people that need your house, right? So what's Yuaniyim Bnei Beisecha? You should have poor people should be in your house. We already said you should have your house open for obviously for those that need it. You know, the Grace of Gvirim don't have to come to your house. What's Pshat? So I saw in the Rashi says, what's Pshat Ruchais? Rashi says it's like Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu's ayah was on all four sides, there was an opening. Right? All four sides was an opening. So there's an opening on all four sides. What's that? That anybody that wants to come from any direction, they could come in. Any direction. So, I mean, what's this negay of Bizman Azeh? Bizman Azeh, that any direction, what, you have a house, you should put, like, on every direction. You should have, like, you know, a door, back door, side door. I mean, that's not really practical. What's that going to do? What's the point of that? That's, it's not negay. What Bizman Azeh does it mean, right? Here we're touching up. Nirvacha means a lashon of ruchais, directions, different sides. So your house should be open on all sides, and Rashi says, like Avraham Avinu had his tent on all four sides, any Ayvim Vishavim that could come in. What's that Negev Bizman Azeh? I was thinking about this. L'chayr Pshat is that a person should have a house open for people coming from all sides. People come from different directions. People come from different places. People are different. Some people are smart, some people are not so smart, some people are richer, some people are poorer, some people are maybe, you know, on the social ladder they're higher, some people are lower, some people come with certain concerns, some people come with other concerns, some people may be Svardim, some are Ashkenazim, some are Litvish, some are Hasidish, some are
I included that,
right? Some are maybe a little more modern than you. Maybe even somebody's a tzayoni, this, and somebody's not from, somebody's conservative, somebody's reform, somebody's, you think, a little more, everybody's in the middle, of course, somebody's a little above, a little below. So the Mishnah is saying, your house should be pesuch l'vacha, anyone, should be for all ruchas, anyone on all four sides. And I was thinking, l'maisa, we have to realize we're not so different. We're not so different. Somebody was asking me, one of the workers, he was asking me, you're not one of the Hasidic, though. You know, those guys are different. I'm like, no, actually, we're pretty much all the same. They have different religions, some different customs. And we should realize that. After so many thousands of years, right? So, Klal Yisrael, everyone keeps the 613 mitzvahs. Everyone has the same Sefer Torah. The Oseis are kemat totally the same. 100% the same. And with the Teimanim, there's like six, moles and chasers that are maybe a little different. But it's unbelievable, like among Svardim, Ashkenazim, everything's the same. We have the same Torah, the same mitzvah. So Hasidim are like that in the mitzvah, not to cut your pay, is they have it longer. They keep their beard. They daven Nusach Ari or different Nusachs. So what? So Nusach Asma is Nusach Svar. What's the big difference? So once it's Avarach and one doesn't, you say Mord Ageshem or Mord Ageshem. It's such a big chilek, Svardim. So they eat kidneys. We don't eat kidneys. I mean, what's the big deal? If we focus on the small things, it's such a big deal. But we're all the same. We should realize we're all the same. Klaiso, we're so similar. Everything's similar. A bunch of menhagim are different. It's true. They shech this way, we shech that way. But we all daven 18 brachas, 19 brachas. We all have basically the same davening. So all the different nuschais are so different. How different are they? So a little different. Fine. But I think we have to realize, we have to focus that we do have so much in common. We're so much same. And Baruch Hashem, we don't have to agree. We don't have to agree. There's no mitzvah to agree. You don't have to agree. In the Gemara, we have machloikas the whole time. But we're taught Hashem oiz la'am yitain. Hashem yivarech asami v'shalom. At the end of the Gemara is Hashem yivarech. The last mishnah, Hashem yivarech asami v'shalom. We're all together. We all get along. We all agree. We all agreed to get along. Okay, so we have a machlekes. That's what Torah is. Machlekes is Hashem Shemayim. Different halachas, different menhagim. We have different menhagim. That's fine. Esvoy v'sufa. The Gemara in Kedushin says that when we learn, we fight with the mamish nasim oivim zezeh. But at the end, einem zelzem misham machnasu oivim. They're soinim and then they become oivim. So we should all have houses that everyone feels comfortable in our house. It should be pasach l'rvacha. We should have that anybody comes in our house, they feel loved, they feel comfortable. And I think that our yeshivas, Baruch Hashem, we excel in that. I think everyone agrees. We have all types over here. People feel comfortable coming here. Whatever type of yarmulke, whether they're doing this or doing that, a little more yeshivas, a little less yeshivas. I think we're unique in that, that we talk of excel in this midah. No? I think so. Yeah. No, it's Emes Hazach. Okay, Rabbeinu Yonah has a different pshat in Ruchais. What it means lervacha. The Mishnah says you base chapasuach lervacha. Your house should be open lervacha. What does that mean? So he says that Avraham Avinu used to hang out in the Malkum Revach. Where are people populated? Why is Waterbury such a dead place? Why are there 100,000 people in Waterbury? And how many million in New York? Why? Because there's no profit over here. There's no Revach. There's no business. People hang out where there's Revach. Revach is lashon of profit. Revach, right? Hakol Revach, right? Profits. So people hang out where there's profit. Avraham Avinu hung out. His house was open in a place of Revacha. He wanted to be around people. He could have stayed where he was and had a very good excuse why he doesn't do chesed. Nobody needs chesed over here. There's no people here. But no, Avram went to the place where there was Revacha, to the place where there was profit, and then there was a lot of activity, there were a lot of people there, and there were a lot of opportunities to do chesed. So that's another big limit for us. A person can live in this world and think everyone around me is okay. No one needs chesed. Everybody's good. If someone needs help, I help them. There's no question. I'll help anyone. I'll help anybody out. No. Yehi beisach pasuach levacha. Pitch your tent where there's revacha, where there's people, where people need you. Find friends. Get to know people that are involved in the chesed. They'll let you know of opportunities, things that need to be done. There's so much that needs to be done, but we just have to find it. We have to be right for chesed. We have to run. That's what it means to be right for chesed. It's not going to come to you. You can live so long, everybody's good. Baruch Hashem. If a friend of mine needed something, I wouldn't do it for him. I would do it for him. More than that, you should be a right of chesed. Your house should be open in the place where people are found. That's what it means, levacha. This is the Rabbeinu Yonah's pshat. V'yaniyim b'nei b'secha. Yishavaniyim, v'yaniyim should be b'nei b'secha. What does this mean? Zakar b'nei Yonah, a famous idea that we all know is that if you have a choice of who to hire the yid, hire the ani who needs help. Here he says, see, I was bothered by Akasha when I saw this mission. Yaniyim b'nei b'secha, it means that, literally means that Yishav the aniyim should live in your house. They should be your b'nei b'ais. They should be your household. Should be poor people. Now it's not so fashion. It's a very high madriga. There are people that do it. We know people that do it. Take people into their house and they live in their house, but it's not so easy, especially raising children. People need a home, people need privacy, you need a place to unwind, a place to fight with your siblings, a place to do things that you're embarrassed of doing, a place to walk around, you know, maybe not wearing your shirt. But you have to have a home to be able to chill out. How could you be demanded, you aniyim b'nei b'secha, to take people into your house? This is bothering me. How could that be? How could I be chayef to do that? About it to Madrega, but not everyone's on this list. I think you have to be about Madrega. You agree with me? To have people mamash living in your house. Like I said, people do it, but it's not so, not everyone's holding there. So he says it means that the misharsim in your house, the people that are working, the shivchais, the avarim, make them Jews. Hire Jewish people to do your work. And of course, this is negated to everything. To all types of jobs. Better hire a yid than a guy, especially an anani, somebody who needs the money. Hire him, give him a chance, build him up. That's the biggest chesed. Also, the pashup shat that they say, yuanim b'nei b'secha, they should feel like they're members of your household. They should feel comfortable. What does it mean to feel comfortable in your house? Aniyim are not going to act on the same level as very chashev, wealthy type of households. A lot of times you go into a house, there's such fancy furniture, there's Persian rugs, you know, chas v'shalom, you don't take your shoes off, it's all over. They'll kill you. If you scratch the furniture, if you touch, you know, if you like put your cup on the server in the dining room, that's it. You scratch it, that's, you know, this piece costed $14,000, and the balabas is jittery because he's nervous that the guy's in his house, he doesn't, you know. So if a person's on the level, they're so wealthy, it doesn't matter, fine. But otherwise, a person has to make a choice. Am I going to have a house that's an open house that I'll be able to welcome people into? There's nothing wrong with having fancy furniture. If you can handle, you know, I think if you can handle it, fine. But like, keep the furniture maybe upstairs or in another room. People can come in, they can relax, they can feel comfortable. You won't have to, they won't see you watching them. If they put something on the table, it may scratch. Have a house that people can live in. I heard a story from Rabbi Lefkowitz, Yishev Refuah Shleimah in South Shore. My cousins live there, so I'm there sometimes. He said over a story, there's a yid who survived the war, came out of Auschwitz, and Baruch Hashem, he was matzliach, like many of them were, and his wife wanted to buy a very, very fancy dining room set. very chashuv said, and he said, you know, the money's no problem. He said he doesn't mind, but he said one condition. He said, when our little einiklach are running around the dining room and they, you know, bash up the furniture, you can't get upset, you can't scream, you can't mind. Let them run around. He said, because I left Europe and I survived to have grandchildren, not to have fancy furniture. That's a priority. It's either or. He said, you know, if you don't care, fine. You can have the furniture. But if that's going to take the place of my einiklach feeling comfortable running around in my house, then I don't want it. I didn't leave Europe for that. I have priorities. These are priorities. So a lot of times, you know, if we're going to have a house set up that it's not going to be comfortable for an ani to walk in, maybe we shouldn't have such a house. We have to reevaluate and think, what do we want in this world? Do we want to spend the 70, 80, 90, 120 years that we're here doing chesed, or having fancy furniture pieces for everyone to look at, and know, you know, that it's something to think about. Anim should feel comfortable in your house. There's a famous story about a chassid that had he had people mamish living in his house. A story from Europe. People living in his house. People would stay there for weeks, and he used to look like one of the anim. He walked around, nobody should know who he is. And one of the anim was saying to him, he didn't know that he was the Baal Bas, they were eating, and he said, I don't know, I'm scared I'm going to get kicked out of here. I've been here for 3 weeks already. I'm scared. I don't know what's with you. So the guy said, "Look, I've been here for 6 weeks already. Nobody said anything to me, so I assume it's okay." You know, it's a famous story. So when it comes to chesed, you and Yom B'nei B'Secha, we can be innovative and think of ways to make them feel comfortable, to make them feel at home. When we do invite them in, when a mishloach comes, offer him a glass of water. If you offer him a glass of water, you show him that you're happy that he's here. Could be just a small thing. Even if he says no, it takes 2 seconds. Would you like something to drink with a smile? That's it. Then the whole thing is different. As opposed, you know, you're doing it anyways. Make him feel comfortable. It's like the famous Vart, the Pesach Seder, Pesach night. We say, in Halach Ma'anya, we say, Kol Dechven Yesev Yechu, whoever wants to come and eat. What's Pshat? Everyone asks, what's Pshat? Now you invite them in, everyone's here already. What kind of joke is that? So what do they say? They say, because now the Aniyim feel comfortable.
Why?
Because now you're inviting guests. Elamai, they're not guests. Right? So we have to be innovative. Think of ways. Think of ways to make them feel comfortable. Kol dechven yetzav yechol. Whoever wants to come, we can have guests. You guys are mamish my b'nei bayis. You guys, that's the whole point, to make them feel comfortable. Another pshat I saw brought down in the that Likud Sefer, I can't remember what it's called. He brings down Likutei Sheish. He brings down from Likutei Bas Likutei, who brings it down, B'Shem Rav Yosef Nun Nachmi Ashzal. And he says a pshat like this in the Mishnah, Yibetz Chabesuch Levacha. Have your house open to make profit. There's nothing wrong with making money. You should know, Rabbi Zai, we hear so much about Maisi Nefesh for Torah, and it's all true. But there's nothing wrong if you happen to make a few dollars. There's nothing wrong. There's no mitzvah to be poor. I was mekabel this from a Rebbe of mine. There's no mitzvah to be a poor man. Avada, there's matregas if you're on the level. But there's no mitzvah stam for the sake of being poor. Avada, there's levels to be Maisi Nefesh for Torah, that you don't do anything, you're mistapit b'muat. If you're on the level, if you and your wife and family are able, fine. But there's nothing wrong to have what you need. Of course you shouldn't live in gelt. You shouldn't be right with mom, and you shouldn't become a yitzhara. But just like you need food to eat, you need money. There's nothing wrong if you happen, Hashem gives you atzlacha. It's not an aveira. Sometimes we're trained with all. It's not an aveira to have money. There's nothing wrong. Somebody who has money, he's not an avarian. He's not a rasha because he happened to make money. There's nothing wrong. So he says here, yibeitzcha b'tzorich levacha, let your house be open for profit. Have profit. But this is unbelievable of art. The you and Yim B'nai B'Secha. Raise your family, not like you're rich. Don't raise your kids with a silver spoon. The B'nai Ba'i, your B'nai Ba'i should be Aniyim. Should be, not Aniyim, it doesn't mean Aniyim. It means they should be brought up regular. Bring them up normal. They don't have to have so fancy. You know, parents that have money, Landaf, they have to let their kids know. Why should they be spoiled? Why should they be brought up like that? I, growing up, I had friends like that. They didn't have how wealthy they were. What did they have to know for? They were brought up very properly. It's a way to bring up children. You don't have to tell, you know, they don't have to know that they're so wealthy. And what's the pshat? What does he explain here? Zuck there, he says, because one day they may not have money. Money goes around, it comes and goes. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. If you raise your children like Reicha mentioned, like such rich people, who knows, how are they going to handle it when they lose it? They won't be able to manage. They're going to be depressed. They won't know how to work. That's why you and Yom B'nai B'Secha realize it could be here and gone tomorrow. I heard an unbelievable story my Rosh Hashiva is a Tzal Rabbi Ginsburg. Yeah, Venerey Shalom, Toronto. He used to be the Mashgiach in Tells Cleveland. And he told me, I heard straight from his mouth, he said that while he was there, Irving Stone, the famous Stone Chumash, Irving Stone, at that time, he came in and he donated all the real estate and land and money for what is known today as Tel Stone, the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, Tel Stone. So when he came to the Anhola and he was arranging that whole package, that whole plan, it was a big project, he said he's giving on three tnaim. He's giving all this money. There's three tnaim. Listen to his three tnaim. Listen to the last one especially. The first tnaim was that he should always have a room in the yeshiva. If he ever comes to visit, he should always have a place to stay. That was number one. Second tnaim, Irving Stone. The Iker should remain in Cleveland. Tells should be Iker, the main Rosh Yeshiva, the main yeshiva should be in Cleveland, and it should just be a sniff, it should be a break-off, but that shouldn't take hold as the main Malcolm. He wanted Cleveland was his baby, that's where he lived. He wanted Cleveland to remain the Iker. And listen to the third tonight. The third tonight was, okay, we're talking about a multimillionaire. Major, major money, probably, you know, his Einiklach, 10 generations, maybe more, could all live like rich people. He said, if my grandchildren can't afford tuition for my great-grandchildren, they should be guaranteed a spot in yeshiva anyways, based on what I'm doing today. You hear that? Unbelievable. Listen to Ayid. He knows today, tomorrow. What's here today is gone tomorrow. It's all from Hashem. You could tell how Iska Arbati was. Rosh Hashiva said that from that point on, he started to respect him. That's when Irving got his respect. So when he heard that, this is a person who's doesn't think this is not some empty rich man. This is a person that understands where it's from. He's an Emes Hayid. He knows that it's from Hashem, and that it's not just, it could go, it's temporary. This is what Hashem gave him today, what Hashem will give him tomorrow, who knows? The Kotzker says of art, there's a Gemara that says, someone who has pas b'saloi, who's some sameach, but pas b'saloi, and he's doig on tomorrow, it's a lack of betochen. Sorry? Pas b'saloi, pas b'saloi means someone who has bread in his basket. Meaning he has for today what to eat, he has his stuff for today. So the Gemara says, if someone is beteach on what he's confident with what he has today, but he's nervous about tomorrow, it's a lack of betochen. I don't know exactly what the Gemara says. It's a lack of betochen. It's not proper. It's like the Kotzker. The problem is not so much that he's worried about tomorrow. The Iker problem is that he's so confident about today. You know it's today. You know that you're going to have it today. Who knows? Maybe in 1 second it's gone. Maybe it's all gone already. So, that's right. The Kotzker's marked. Staka Kotzker Vart. It's unbelievable. I said a Vart. I had a Ha'ar in a Rashi. Rashi says in Parshat B'Shalach, Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yates. The Pasuk says, Vayikach Moshe is Atzmos Yosef. Imai Moshe took the bones of Yosef with him. Ki Ashbea Hishbea Es Bnei Yisrael Leimor. Because Yosef made Klai Yisrael swear. Basically, Rashi will explain. Hashem will take you out of Mitzrayim. He made them swear that they'll take his bones when they leave Mitzrayim. Many years later, they should take his bones out of Mitzrayim. Zok Rashi. Hashbeah Hishbiah. Hishbiah, he made them swear when he died, right? He made those that were alive at the time swear that they'll make their children swear until the generation that are Yotzei Mitzrayim, there should be a Mitzrayim that they should take out Yosef's bones from Mitzrayim. And Moshe Taka took them out. So Rashi has a question. Why didn't he tell them, just take my bones out right away, right after he's dead? They should immediately take it to Eretz Canaan. Just like Yaakov made that arrangement. And they, in Parshas Vayechi, right after Yaakov died, they all left Mitzrayim, they got Rishus, boom, they went out, they had a big Leviah. And they buried him right away. Why the Bezayin? Why keep the bones so long? It's not Derech Eretz. It should have been done immediately. Why didn't Yosef ask that the same that was done for his father should be done for himself? Listen to Yosef. Omar Yosef. Ani shali tayisi b'mitzrayim. I was the ruler of Mitzrayim. I had the ability to pull, I could pull strings. I had shlep. I had pull avol beni, but my children, avol bona, but my children, lo yanichu mitzrayim lasos. They may not, the mitzrayim may not let them do what I wish to be done with my body, with my bones. Lakach ishbiyam. Therefore, he made them swear, lekashiyigalu, that when they leave Mitzrayim, the yetsim misham jitsu, that then they should take them out. You can learn this Rashi and go weiter, or you can think about it and say, this is unbelievable. Think about it. Yosef was he didn't have pull, he didn't know someone who knew the president, he didn't have a shaykhus, with the president, he was the president. He was the person who built Mitzrayim, he made Mitzrayim a superpower, he was there for years, he was the man. he decided everything. To think that when he's dead the next day, the Mitzrayim won't allow his children to fulfill his wishes? Why should he think that? He's so comfortable there. He's the ruler of Mitzrayim. He was Hamish with everyone. Paroi, Avreich. How could he? Would you have such a havamin if you're in his position? We think we're so comfortable here. Yosef was a person who knew v'yu aniyim b'nei b'secha. Maybe my children will be aniyim. Maybe I'm an usher. I'm able to take my father out of Mitzrayim. Maybe my children won't. Hashem gave me this position today. It's all from Hashem. I'm not so comfortable with these guys. I don't know what's going to be tomorrow. He knew. This is Yosef. Yosef HaTzadik. That's why he was the Yosef HaTzadik. He wasn't living in Mitzrayim. He was living in the Beis Medrash. He had himself screwed on so straight. He knew his place. He knew that it could be gone tomorrow. So he realized this part. V'aniyim b'nei b'secha. He knew that maybe tomorrow things won't work out, and therefore he commanded that, look, I know they're not going to let. They may not let, so when we do go out of Mitzrayim, then take my bones out. And that's the pshat. Yebeis ha-besuch levocha, v'yu aniyim b'nei b'secha. Raise your children as if they were not gevirim. Shkoyach.
Mishnah Hay. Yeah, I did it. Mishnah Hay. We're in the middle of Mishnah Hay.
Moshe was here a second ago.
We're in the middle of Mishnah Hay. Yosef ben Yochanan, Ish Yerushalayim, Omer, Yibeischa, Pesuch, Ravacha, your house, this will be said yesterday, 2 days ago, your house should be open for a prophet, we said that from Shatim, Yaniyah b'nei b'secha, the Aniyah should be b'nei b'ayis, v'al tar b'sicha ima isha. You shouldn't speak too much with one. V'ishta Omer, they say this about his wife, Kavacher, b'ishcha vera. So Pashas, it means, about your wife, you shouldn't speak with your wife, for sure you shouldn't speak to your friend's wife. From here the Chabam say, anybody who speaks too much with a woman, he causes bad to himself. Then you get Gehenna. So Chayra, first of all, what's the connection to the beginning of the Mishnah? The Mishnah starts off that you should do Achmas Archim, you should have Aniyim in your house, and then you say you shouldn't talk to women. What's the connection? What's Yisrael B'yachim Yisrael Shalayim's, what's the continuity of the Mishnah? Second of all, it says Altars Beishta Amru. What's Pshat Beishta Amru? Your own wife. You can't speak with your own wife. What does it mean? You shouldn't speak with your own wife. How could it be? Could be then. Could be Taka means it literally. In those days, they were on the Madrega that they spoke to their wife only necessary things. But why is it today? What does it mean Beishta Amru? You shouldn't speak with your wife. What's Pshat in that? You want to say something?
No, I don't know. Who said every mission has to go? This is what Yosef Ben Yochanan needs to say. It's not
is it more geshmak if it goes together?
Yeah.
Kashas, it goes
so
together.
Yeah.
No, it is a shtekel kashi. Usually it goes, there's some sort of a flow. You're right. But if we have a pshat, then for sure it's good. If we have a pshat. So the pshat's like this. The pshat is, that, this is the emes, that we're talking about someone who's doing Chesed, doing Chus Archim, he's bringing people into his house. The Mishnah is teaching you that maybe you'll have women in your house too. There's women that are poor that need help also. It comes to mind, there's a yid in Toronto that I know, that very is known in Toronto. He takes people from Eretz Yisrael. He's busy with Mamish his whole life basically. He's busy with Chesed, taking people from Eretz Yisrael that need operations, they need health, health things, health concerns. He takes care of them. So I see him sometimes, and I see him taking them from the Bikacholim house to his house, back and forth. See, there's women also. Women need help too. Sometimes you see him with ladies, men. So that's what it's saying. It's saying, Altar b'sicha imisha. What's that? Altar, but don't have too much. And a little is good. When is it? What's good to go schmoozing with women? That you shouldn't be, with something that you shouldn't do. The terrace is, not too much. You need a little bit. Dabar ha'echach, what you need to do. You need to speak to them, set them up, what they need, etc. But Altar b'sicha imisha. Don't have too much. Not too much schmoozing with women. It's not good. Whatever you have to do, and then that's it. Not Altar b'sicha. Don't don't be marvel too much sicha. And it's also pshat about a person has to speak to him, and even if you're in a business, you're selling, you're a salesman, whatever, you have to speak what's important. Well, it's negay, especially today, for some reason the guy and feel a need that every woman has to be in the workforce, the shame, they have to, right? The women have to have equal rights. They have to be out there. So Mela, you're going to be dealing with women if you're out there in the world, but they have to do it in a way that is al-tab sicha. Sicha is more like schmoozing, sichulin, sicha, vayasiach. It's not deeper. Deeper like more davar ha-hefer, something that's needed. Sicha is like, you know, schmoozing. Don't al-tab sicha mi'isha. We asked, what's be'ishtei amru ka'v'chomer be'ishtei chaveroi? What's the pshad? You can't speak to your wife? It says like this. Bartanura learns, brings out a pshad. Ishtei amru means not that you can't speak with your wife. It doesn't mean that. It means be'ishtei amru. With your own wife, there's harchakas. When a man's wife is a nida, she's impure, she's asur to be with him, right? Those are the helchas nida. So, there's harchakas. There's dina harchakas, how they have to stay with certain things. They shouldn't go on vacations. There's certain different dina that apply to be marfa. They shouldn't come to do an avera. Chas v'sham, chiyuv karas to live with the ishtei nida. Now, the Mishnah is saying, be'ishtai anubai, women, they say harchaka is ways to guard yourself, there's guidelines that you shouldn't have, right, have relations with your wife when you're not supposed to. Kavachayim or be'ishtai chaveirai, all the time it's usher, it's a bigger aver, and there's a much bigger yitzhara for someone else's wife. It's never mutter, right, you're not used to her. It's a much bigger yitzhara, it's a much bigger danger. Kavachayim or be'ishtai chaveirai, for sure with your friend's wife. About it there, you have to be careful, you have to set up gedarim. You shouldn't be schmoozing with women. Because if for your own wife, we have gedarim, we have dina harchakas, wait, halachas to keep you away from your own wife, for sure if it's not your wife. Sicha means like schmoozing. Deeper is more what's important. No, so we explained that the ishtei amru doesn't mean pashas, we always learn, right, my whole life. I never really looked it up, so now I see pshat, I always bother. It means bishnamer. We think it means bishnamer that you can't speak. That's not what it means. It means bishnamer by your wife. There's guidelines. There's gedarim. There's boundaries that are set that you shouldn't pass. So you shouldn't come to avera, which are the laws of harchakas and isha zaniva, right? You know, there's different halachas. Fine. So kavachlemer beishet chavera for sure by your friend's wife. You can't omer chacham. From here, the chacham said. Call anyone. What's the lashon call? Call is coming to include something. What does call come to include? We'll see. Call amar b'sichem isha. Anybody who has too much sichem isha, goyim ra l'atzmi. He causes evil to himself. What's evil? What's this ra? We have to explain that. B'soif uvaytum devetarim. He's vaytum devetarim. B'soif yarish gehenim. And at the end, he yarishes gehenim. What's the lashon yerusha by gehenim? So we're going to answer everything. What's the kind of amacham? From here the chacham says. So the Bartanur explains that Rebbe, who is inside of the Mishnayos, Rebbe, meaning Mikan, who's Mikan? This is this person saying it, right? Yosef ben Yochai Yishalayim is saying you shouldn't have too much sikha in Isha. So what's saying from here the chacham said? What he's saying from my words the chacham said? What do you mean? From this source? He's saying it. If he's saying it, he should say, don't speak too much of your wife, because it'll lead to all these things. So Rebbe Yudas, Bartanur explains that Rebbe did over here was that Rebbe said that from Yosef ben Yochanan, who says this din that you shouldn't speak too much to women, from Yosef ben Yochanan, Rebbe who's beside the Mishnayos said Mikan Amru, from here the Chacham said you shouldn't be Mar B'Sicha Misha and you'll end up Yerush Gehenna. What's Pshat Mikan? What's the special Chiddush from here? Why couldn't the Chacham say about themselves? It's a different Pashat. Al Tar B'Sicha Misha. What's the Mikan? From here we see. Why did the Chacham need Yosef ben Yochanan? What was his Chiddush? What was his Deher? What did he say more that tells us, oh, from here we see that call. Anyone who speaks, what's from here? The answer is like this. He says, a Chiddush Yosef ben Yochanan. Many times we think, maybe we're somewhere, we see a girl that is not from, maybe she needs a little direction, a little kirov. Ah, I'm going to help her. It's a mitzvah, I'm going to help her. Kirov is the most popular thing today. I'm going to be mekayer of her. I'm going to help her. Aser, stay away. Avram megayer sanoshim, Sarah megayeres esanoshim. Ad kan divra yetzahara. He wants you to go and be megayer of her. In the end, you have problems. No. We see from Yosef ben Yochanan that even when you're doing a mitzvah, this is not stam a guy, this is a good guy. He's doing a chlasis arachim. He has a niyam v'dei be'secha. He's a good guy. But still, Yosef ben Yochanan says, Al tarav asicha meisha. It's not stam, don't speak with him. No, he had a chiddush, Yosef ben Yochanan. Even when you're doing a mitzvah, Al tarav asicha meisha. And then the Chum said, from here, we see that kol hamarba. Anyone, what's the anyone? What's the kol? Kol, we know. Mar always asked, hakol asuyimai. What's kol coming to include? I'll tell you what it's coming to include. I think it's coming to include even a guy who's doing it for a mitzvah. L'shem Shemayim. He's doing it L'shem Shemayim for the sake of heaven. And maybe he means well. Comes the mission to tell you, you should know that in the end you'll be sorry. It's gonna mess you up. It's an opportunity. You feel bad. Mama Shakir, if you think she'll listen to you, it's a pure opportunity. You have to know it's not an opportunity. It looks like an opportunity, but it's not an opportunity. It's as if you never met her. It's so much not an opportunity, because it's, like we explained, it's not good. So it's like you never even saw this person. Yes? Oh, exactly. Who says you should drown? Exactly. You're going to drown. So don't go save her. Exactly. Exactly. And here it's a suffix. Well, you save her. Who knows? It's going to happen. So that's the lesson. In general, we should talk or take a lesson from here, all of us, that we shouldn't, sometimes we think it's cool to go speaking to somebody else's wife. You know, a guy gets engaged. You know, she was with the kala. You don't have to choose the kala. You just have to say mazel tov. That's it, if that much. Oh. What's going on here? Called Marbasich Misha Gaim Ra. What's Ra? Who's Ra? Talk to Gemara and Kedushin. Daflam it on the base. Tana Rabbanan. Kasha Yitzhar. The Yitzhar is bad. He's no good. Shafilu Yitzhar. Even his creator. Hashem created Yitzhar. Koirei Ra. Even his creator calls him bad. Funny thing. He created him. He calls him bad. Shenamar ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra minor. The yetzer of a person is evil from when he's young. Lamanam aveis in kedushin. That's what we're saying. Kol amar b'sicha me'isha. Anybody has too much sicha me'isha, goyrim ra la'atzma. He causes ra. He causes the yetzer for himself. We know. We always say over Reb Chaim Shulevitz. How can a person be punished for avera? Yetzahara, it's takachu, it's a natural thing. It's Yetzahara, how can you control yourself? It's Yetzahara. The answer is, you put yourself in the situation. That's why you'll be punished. Why did you let the Yetzahara overcome you? Why did you put yourself in a situation where you had Yetzahara? Why did you do that? That's why you'll be punished. In the male, you did the Aver, you're talking Einus. Einus Rachmana Patri. Hashem forgives Einus. Hashem doesn't use Mechayv Einus. But you caused him. You cause the Yitzhar. You're Mar B'Sich HaMishi. You're hanging out with girls. Of course you're going to have the Yitzhar you can't control. Of course. You're Gairam Ral Atzmai. What does Gairam mean? Grama. Grama bin Izakin is what? Potter mi de Adam v'chayiv din Hashemayim. Here we're speaking about din Hashemayim. You're chayiv, 100%. Grama, you're chayiv. You're causing the Yitzhar to come into you, you're chayiv. And the end, you get Kehenim. So what's Ubaito Medivai Torah? What is the Vaita Medivai Torah doing over here? The answer is, because just even though you have the Yitzhar, let's say a person has the Yitzhar in him. What could he do? So let's see the Gemara. The Gemara before the one I just said, Tana Rabbanan, V'samtem, Samtam, Nimshal HaTorah, Kisam HaChayim. The Gemara says, Samtem is Samtam, a complete medicine. Sam. Why is the Torah compared to the Sam? I'm sorry, Nimshal HaTorah, Kisam HaChayim. Torah is compared to a medicine of life. Mashal Adam, it's a mashal to a person. Shehigas b'nai makvidal, he hit his son, a great makah. He hit his son. He hurt him. B'niach l'aritiyah makasa, he left him with a bandage on his wound. Marmalai, he said to him, B'ni, my son, kol zman sharitiyah zu amakosa, as long as this bandage is on your blemish, your makah, echo mashanosa, eat what you want. You don't have to watch your diet. You don't have to read the calories. Eat whatever you want. You should say, Mashanoscha, drink whatever gives you hana. Urechleis, and wash, bein bechamin, bein mitzayin, whether with cold, hot water. The Gemara somewhere else explains what's good. Sometimes you have to wash with cold after hot water. Don't worry about anything. The Enatam is here, you need not fear. The Imatam, Avira, however, if you take that bandage off, Harehi Malinoim, it's going to cause you problems. It's going to bring us scabs, wounds. So to Hashem is our father. We said the right, the father gave the wound to the son. So to Hashem, he's our father. Amalem li Yisrael, he said to them, Bnei Yisrael, Bnei, my son, Bonai, my children. Barasi Yitzhahara, I created the Yitzhahara. Ubarasi Lion, I created for him Torah Tavlin. We all know this Gemara. I created a Torah which is an anecdote to this Yitzhahara. Vimatem Oiskim Batara, if you're Oiskim Batara, ain't that time Yisrael Yodin. You won't fall into his clutches. You will not fall into his clutches if you're Oiskim Batara. Shenemar Halayim Seitu Seis. If you do good, then you'll overcome. And Tavis Torah. Vimatem Oiskim Batara, if you're not Oiskim Batara, Atem Nimsar B'Yodah, you'll fall into his hand. Shenemar LePesach HaFisroibos. V'Le'oidi, not only that, Ela Shekol Ma'asayim Matanei Bach, Yitzhar's whole business is you. He's busy with you a whole day. That's his business. Shenemar V'Lechat Shukosai, to you is his Cheshek. V'Matah writes it, but if you want, Atam Ma'ishabah, you'll rule over him. Shenemar V'Atah Tim Shabah, you'll rule over him. What's Pshat in this Gemara? I have a question. What's Pshat? It says the whole Mashal, and then it says, if you're Isaac Batara, you're not Nimser in his hand, you won't be Nimser in his hand. Then it brings a plus. Then it says, but if not, his whole business is with you, right? He's in the ruining the Jew business. That's his business. Every Jew's in business. This is his business. However, then it says again, right? We already said that you could rule. Then it says again, if you want, you could rule over him. What's the shot of that again? It says it again. You hear my question? What's on this Gemara? The Gemara says the Mashal. Then the Gemara says, and if you want, you can rule over him with Torah. Then it says, and if not, he'll get you. Then it says, and if you want, you'll rule over him. What's the again? It says it twice. The answer is, I think we're talking about first the person who never had the Yitzhar. You keep him away. Isaac Batar, you keep him away. Then what does it say? It says, but if not, he'll overcome you. He'll beat you. His whole business will be in you. He'll be inside you already. But then it says, but if you want, you can overcome him. That means that even if you already were bad, you have the bad in you, the ra, the Yitzhahara is in you. You weren't careful, and the Yitzhahara got into you, still you could overcome. It's not over. You can always get out. You can always win. Zak Rashi, imata raitsa, asaik batayra, bi Isaac batayra vata moishwa. You'll still roll over. Two stages. There's the first stage, he never came in. That's obviously easier. Then Isaac batayra, no problem. Then it says, imata raitsa, you need a little more willpower. But you could do it with Torah, says Rashi. So that's Pshat in this Gemara. Memelo, that's Pshat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Klamar b'sichim isha, goyrim ra la'atma, he causes ra, you're causing you to harm yourself. Uvaita medivei Torah, because we're going to say the guy's headed to Gehenna, that's the end of the Mishnah. So one second, the equation's not complete yet. Maybe the guy's going to learn Torah. So what? Goyrim ra la'atma, it's talking terrible, but he can get him out. He's not going to get him necessarily. And then it says, you're still speaking with women, you're baita medivei Torah. Because if you would learn Torah, then you'd get out of it. You wouldn't end up in Gehenna, but it would stop right there. Yeah? It flows nicely. It would stop right there. But no, you're baita medivei Torah, then the Yitzhar has you. Then it's game over, Taka. But if you're, right? So if you're speaking with women, then you'd be Mizgar Yitzhar. Then the Yitzhar, it's like Yitzhara Torah. Right? Yitzhara Torah. It's not together. Either you're learning and you're stagging, or you're Yetzirah-ing. It's not together. It could be in the person's life, mixed around, fine, but it's either or, right? So therefore, if you're Marvit, we're talking about a guy, he's still Marvit Sicha Me'isha, so then it steps in, if he's Baitim Divatara, because he's speaking with women, he's Baitim Divatara, because if he would stop, and he wouldn't be Baitim Divatara, then he wouldn't end up in Gehenna. He'd talk to save himself. Rabbi Ginsburg used to say all the time, when a person's in yeshiva, well, basically, before we get to that, the way the Yitzhar works is as a person gets greater, whoever's greater than his friend, he has a bigger Yitzhar. The greater you are, the bigger Yitzhar is, and there's a simple reason for that. Bechira, you have to have Bechira in this world. So if your Yitzhar, you start out over here, right? Then you're stagging away and you're building yourself up. And your mom, that's not life. What are you doing? There's no life. There's no bechira. So Rasha brings the Yitzhar up. He meets, the Yitzhar comes up. So your friend, who never was, his Yitzhar is over here. He doesn't have such a Yitzhar. But you're stagging. You're a good guy. Yitzhar comes up with you. Fine. But it's not chrayis. Why? Because what happens? You're in yeshiva. You're learning. You're going. Then you come to the summer and this goes down. What do you think? Hashem takes down the Yitzhar for you. Custom, he pampers you like that, brings down the Yitzhar? No. It doesn't work that way. The Yitzhar is over here. You bring Yitzhar down, you're in big trouble. It's no good. It's big trouble. You got it. That's why a lot of times when we leave yeshiva, so we're learning so many hours, then we go to work or, you know, right, we're busy, so we don't have so much time to learn. So what do we do? What's the etza? Etza is very simple. You all know this word, pashut avar. The etza is that if you're learning and it's all the shem shemayim and you're taking care of your family and you're supporting her and you're doing dvarim hechrechem, things that are necessary, so it doesn't. It's all considered part of the. You get schar as if you're oisik with her. You're doing what you can. So then it stays. It's fine. That's the etza hara. That's how it works with the etza hara. So the big lesson over here is, of course, the lesson over here is that we have to keep out the Yetzirah. We don't want to let him in. That's the best way. And Mar B'Sicha Misha is a way to let him in. There's a mashal I saw in that sefer from the Maggid from Brisk, somebody was selling last year. He says a mashal, a simple mashal. He says, imagine a person, he has a lot of valuables, he's got silver and gold and who knows what, a real fancy, you know, fancy Brooklyn house with full of alamina zachim. He's got everything in there. And he leaves, the doors open, the shades are mamish wide open, windows are open, not just that they're not locked, but they're, you know, wide open, all the lights are out, there's no movement there, you know, the doors are unlocked, no cast iron, you know, the cast iron by the windows, none of that, everything's wide open, and you could see all the beautiful things in there. Guy's crazy, he's gonna lose everything. All his precious things are going to be gone. Agada's going to walk right in. Isn't that the same thing with the Yetzihara? If you look everywhere and your eyes are everywhere, so you're so precious, inside is your precious mind. It's the greatest thing that you have. It's so chashav. That's you. That's the Nefesh HaLakai. Your neshama is in there, your maya. And if you leave your eyes open and everything's open, the shades are all wide open, so the Yetzihara walks right in and he takes it all away. He steals it. How could you be so foolish, he says. He writes so beautifully. You have to read it. How can you be so foolish? Close the shades. Lock everything up. Keep everything locked. Put the alarm on. You know? Well, you crazy? Motion detectors. Everything. That's what we do, Taka, with our money. We watch our houses. We watch everything. Kavachemra, our life, ourself, our essence. What could be more important than that? Hashem gave us shutters. We have shutters. These are the shutters. We have shutters. Keep the shutters closed. Keep the Atara out. Okay. So what's Pshat that Gehenna is a Yerusha? Oh, before we go back there, so Tyra Tavlin, very important point. Tyra Tavlin, Tyra's the anecdote. Today they don't teach us that in Yeshiva, right? They don't teach us that Tyra's the anecdote. They teach us that too. What do they say? You have to learn Musar, you have to learn Musar, they say. So what happened? The Gemara didn't know this shmuz? The Gemara never says, but the Gemara says Tyra Tavlin. The Gemara didn't know this. The answer is, like was said before, the answer is that, like Daniel said over, that how come the Rishayim's Musar Svarim are so simple, you know? Like, it'll quote a pasuk from Chazal, finish. You have to honor your parents, says Kabbalah. Boom, no stories. Right? You remember that? He spoke about this. Today, it's a whole shmooze. As the years get longer, they get thicker and thicker, right? As the generations go on, the swarm are thicker and thicker, longer and longer, more innovative stories. Maybe they'll have pictures soon. Everything is so, you know, like easy to read, nice, spoon fed, nice stories, little joke, like English, everything. Why is it that way? And Rabbeinu Yoina, when he wrote his Sefer, it's like so, you know, and say for a year a different svarim, it's so clear, concise, just my rechalel, Tarot says, because then, that's all they needed, they had the pasuk. In the Torah was all the musar for them. They extracted it from the Torah. But you didn't even need that. It says in the Torah, you know, I don't need all these musar. So that was their musar. They taught to learn musar. They got it from the Torah. We're not on the level. So male, we have to learn musar. We have to be spoon-fed the direct. It's like supplements. If you eat your proper diet, so you don't need to take vitamins. You have what you need. You have different food groups, right? Calcium, whatever it is. Iron, you have all the things that you need. But if you're not eating the proper diet, you're eating junk and you want to be healthy, so you take supplements, right? You have to pour them down. That's what musar is. Musar is a supplement. We have to pour it down. We need it because we don't know how to eat the proper diet. We're not able to have a well-balanced diet. We don't have the Torah properly. We're not on the level anymore. We're not expected. We have to learn musar. That's what musar is. So musar and Torah go hand in hand. One other pshat I saw, Bartanur brings down, which I just wanted to mention, He says, so we said pshat, it doesn't mean you shouldn't speak too much to your wife. It means b'ishtay amru, there's a chakas by your wife, kavachaymer, don't speak to your neighbor's wife, your friend's wife. So there's another pshat, it means don't speak to your wife. What does it mean don't speak? He means don't start telling to your wife every stupid thing that happens to you during the day, which you'll see is the natural thing to do. Don't start doing that. You come home after a long day, this happened to this, and that, and this, and this guy did that. Don't do that. Why? Listen to this. I'll read it from the Bar Tanura. Inami, mitoich shu mesafer lo shechaver v'ginuhu ubayshuhu, from the fact that he's telling her all these stories of his friends that they caused him anguish and they embarrassed him, avhi mevaza oisai v'liba. In her heart, she's mevaza him. She thinks he's a fool. She's mevaza him in her heart. She thinks she shouldn't say it. She thinks to herself, v'zeh garim ro la'asid. That's the mishnah. This causes bad. A pashit ro causes bad. He causes himself problems. His wife doesn't look up to him. His wife thinks he's a loser. Why? Because you tell your wife all the stupid things. Your wife talking things. You're stupid also. This guy did that. This guy thinks you're an idiot. This guy. So she thinks you're an idiot too. Alchem basaroy. Of course. Probably my husband probably is an idiot. Right? So don't go telling your wife every stupid thing. I heard this once over from Rabbi Viner also. Rabbi Yosef Viner, on one of the tapes he gave a Shalom Bayis thing, so he was saying over the halachas of Lashon Hara, how they apply to your wife and loved ones. It's the same halachas. Are you allowed to speak Lashon Hara? So the answer is, you know, if it relieves emotional stress, if it's absolutely necessary, so you could say it over, right? So he said, but take it easy. Take it easy, chill out with the stories. Why? Because of this reason. Because your wife's going to think you're a fool. Don't start telling. The same thing applies in general in life, with friends, with everyone. The way you know, you may tell someone, you know, Marshall, you know, Mamish, it's a secret, someone told me, but like, Mamish, we have to keep it quiet. You know what I mean? He told me not to tell anyone, and I can keep a secret. So I'm just telling you, and don't tell anybody. Right? So what happens? So your friend, you guys are buddies, but in that guy's heart, he's mevaza you, says the bartender. Why? Because he knows that if he has a secret, he ain't telling you. Because he knows that you're going to tell someone not to tell anybody. Right? The way you act, right? Other people are learning about you. People learn a lot about you from how you act. And your wife will learn, of course, your wife will learn about you. So be careful how much mishigasin you tell your wife so she can keep her respect for you. Of course, it's a very important thing. Everyone wants that. If not, it's going wrong. It causes you evil. And the Mishnah ends off, say the Yarsh Kehenim, the end, you inherit Kehenim. What's the Lashon inheritance? I think the Peshat's Pashit. It's an inheritance for you. It's not someone punishing you. It's not, Gehenim is not like something unfair, some judgment that they deliberated with the jury for who knows how long, and appeals and here and there until they decided that you get Gehenim. No. A man chooses. We see over here in the Mishnah. The Mishnah lays it out clearly for you. It's not any sentences. Say, here you are. My friend, there's a Yetzer Hara, there's a Yetzer Tayyip. There's Tyra and Musser, they're schmoozing with women and letting in the Yitzhar. You have your choice. If you choose Tyra, excellent. We all will choose Tyra, Baruch Hashem. But someone who doesn't choose that, someone who chooses Sichim Isha, Gehenim is his inheritance. It's what follows through. It's your inheritance, like a son inherits his father. He didn't do anything special. Like, because he's the son, that's the way it's been, that's the way it is. So the Melo, when the father passes away, the son Yarshin's the father. Same thing over here. Memela, after your whole life of living this life, that's your Yerusha. That's what you got for yourself. That's your inheritance. It's not some sort of punishment. Shreifa Yarsh Gehenim. Gehenim is a Yerusha. Hashem should help that we should talk of Izaicha. We should learn Torah, learn Musar, and we should be Garim Tayyib last night. We should have only good. Shkoyach.